We are celebrating today the body of Christ. I do believe, as a Christian, that we should celebrate the body of Christ all the time. That should be a part of our faith in embracing the words of Jesus about the importance of the body of Christ, as well as the scriptures about how important people are to God, how important people are in the eyes of God. I know that it's important that we remember to be thankful for each other and to express it. You know, we can get into a pattern of being pretty self-absorbed in our lives and our circumstances and our challenges and forget about the people around us and how important it is that we are thankful for them and we encourage them. So I want to say to you today, thank you for being here. I'm glad you're here, and I want to be an encouragement in your life. As your pastor, I want to help to encourage you to move ahead in your relationship with God. That's kind of one of my goals as a pastor, to say to every person that I have the opportunity to be around, I want to be a person that helps to move you forward in your relationship to God. And we have to be mindful of that and care about that. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, a scripture about, would you go on to that text? It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are in fact doing. We're reminded many times in the scripture that it's the responsibility of every believer to encourage the people around them in the body of Christ and to be that impact of encouragement. And I think about Hebrews chapter 10. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Think about that. We need to consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Our job is to help each other to move ahead in their faith, wherever they're at. You know, we need to care about people wherever they're at, whether they're very far along or they're very far back, wherever they are. I think about Jesus and how he worked with people where they were. And God calls us in the body of Christ to encourage each other no matter where they're at, wherever people are, to be at that place of encouraging them and helping them to move on. We are to be encouragers. And in the body of Christ, we know that that is very important to the heart of God. Jesus cared deeply about encouragement. He also cared deeply about being connected to him. And because we're connected to him, we will be connected to each other. John chapter 15 holds Jesus' precious words about the vine and the branches. And I want to invite you to read that with me this morning. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along or you want to read it in your pew Bible, you can do that. But I'd like to ask you to stand today. And whether you listen or you read along, listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to look this morning for a few minutes at the evidence of being connected to the vine. I kind of see in this chapter, there's so many things in Jesus' words in John chapter 15 that are powerful and deep and important for us to think about. And and I picked out a few of them. I kind of want to begin with, there's these two bookends of two things that are extremely important to the heart of God that Jesus talks about here. Number one is staying connected to Jesus. And on the other end of it, what will happen when we're connected to Jesus will bear much fruit. And so much of what Jesus says within these verses and the chapter before and the chapter after are about those two things. What does it mean to stay close to Jesus and to always be connected to Him? And what will happen in your life if that happens and you're connected to Him? The first thing that I notice that Jesus emphasizes here is the importance of pruning. And He describes the gardener in a way that says that God the Father, when we are connected to Jesus, God the Father prunes us in our lives. That means that God cares about who we are, our personalities, how we come across, our attitude, our priorities, and God is continually looking at us and fashioning us and wanting to form us and shape us into being more and more like Him. And so that pruning process is very important. You realize that your relationship to God, if you're a believer today, is not to be a static relationship. You come to that point in your life when you ask Jesus to come in your heart, and He forgives you of your sins, and then it's kind of, you're done until you go to heaven. That's not it at all. Jesus is looking for an ongoing relationship with you where God's hand is on you and in you and fashioning you and forming you and shaping you and everything a part of your life. Some people, I think, get the idea that Christianity is about one big decision or maybe two big decisions and that's it. Christianity is about relationship with Jesus and every day being connected to Him, every day hearing the voice of God in your heart and your life to guide you and direct you and help you and to be with you. I notice that the word that Jesus uses here in verse 2 for pruning, let me read it again. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it will be more fruitful. The word that Jesus uses, the Greek word that Jesus used for pruning here, is the same Greek word. It's translated two ways in the Greek, into the Greek language. One is the word pruning that we think about when you take you cut off the branches like we understand the word pruning. But the other is, it's translated cleaning. And so Jesus says that God wants to continuously clean and cut and prune and shape us. He wants us to be continually clean. It's not as if we just get dirty by choice in the world. It's that the world is dirty around us. And because we live in the world and we're around the world, we're around things that are difficult and challenging and sometimes painful, and sometimes clutter our minds and our hearts that we would miss the purity of what God wants for us. And so Jesus says, when you're connected to me, then you know that the Father is going to be working inside of you to make you all that God wants you to be. The Word tells us, Jesus tells us, that God wants to continuously be involved in your life and your thinking and how you see His will for your life. Another way to say it is God wants in every believer a teachable spirit. God wants every believer to be prunable. That God wants you in your life to have a desire that He could come into your life and He can look deep into your heart and into those every corners of who you are, and you give God the permission to say, God, you can touch anything you want to inside of me and change it. I am willing for you to do that. A teachable spirit. A humble spirit. The only way that you can be teachable is if you say to God, God, I give you everything in my life. I'm not holding on to it, but I'm saying you have the right to come in and touch everything in your life. And there is no substitute for God's pruning in your life. There is no substitute for a teachable spirit. There's nothing that you can do in place of having a humble and teachable spirit before God that will make you a person who will bear much fruit. You can't be smart enough. You can't know enough scripture. You can't have memorized the Bible enough. You can't pray enough every day. You can't be gifted enough. I mean, some people have beautiful gifts and talents and abilities. Some people are very experienced and they've been around a long time and they know the ropes and they know what works and what doesn't. Some people think that they're sure enough and they know things, some people have all the gifts and all the graces and all those things, but that is no substitute for a teachable spirit. If you want to bear fruit, if you really want to bear fruit in your life for Christ, you've got to have a teachable spirit. You've got to have a spirit on the inside that says, God, you're in charge. No matter what I think, no matter what I know, no matter what my experience is, you know, whether you are here today and you are new to even trying to hear God's Spirit, and you may be here today and you think, I don't know much about the Bible. I really don't know very much about who God is. I don't even know what I believe, but I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to hear. Or you might be somebody that's been in this church for 40 years or more, a long time. Could be a teenager and you've come to faith in Christ. Could be somebody that came to Christ later as an adult. Or maybe you were born in this church. You've lived here and this has been your church for all your life. I want you to know there is no substitute for a teachable spirit. There's no substitute to have an attitude that says, God, I give you the permission to come into my heart and to trim my life and to examine my heart, examine my attitude, examine my spirit, examine how I think, examine how I look at people, examine my attitude and how I treat things. There is absolutely no substitute to make up for having a heart that is teachable. I believe, to me, that's the most important lesson in John chapter 15, is how important it is that each of us make that decision that he's in control and he's in charge. And every day is a new day to say, Jesus, you're in control of my life. You're in control of what I'm dealing with. And there's a part of me that's going to say every day, I'm not sure, and I'm going to ask the Spirit. Because what he also talks about here in John chapter 14 and then later on is how important it is that we're connected to the Holy Spirit. He says in John chapter 14 that when you're a believer, that the Holy Spirit will come. Chapter 14 tells us all about the coming of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Go on to that next slide, would you please, Nate? I want to say also how important it is that you hear the Holy Spirit in your life and you seek the Holy Spirit. And all of these points are related to the first one here about the pruning. And that is that you have an attitude that's teachable by the Holy Spirit. That no matter how sure you are, boy, we can be sure of things. We can be sure about people. We can be sure about circumstances. We can be sure about what we're going to do and how we react and respond. But we have to be even more sure that we are listening to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is able to teach us and guide us and show us what he wants to say and to do in our lives. You will sense God's closeness when you embrace the Holy Spirit and you seek the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life. Jesus also says that we will have our prayers answered when we're connected to him. There's something about prayer that he talks about in John chapter 15 that says, when you're connected to Jesus and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, your prayers will be answered. You know, when you call out to God, you're going to hear him. He's going to be close. You're going to sense his Spirit. You look at verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is one of the mysteries about prayer. When you're connected to Jesus, you're going to hear his voice. You're going to hear an answer to prayer. You're going to hear him say yes or no or maybe or later or whatever God says to you about your prayer. But you will hear an answer when you're close to Jesus. I do believe that's very true in my life. When I have desperately called out to God and said, God, I'm asking you, I need to hear from you, he always answers. But you know, when I'm busy and my prayers aren't real deep and I'm just running and I just kind of have time for, you know, just a quick, you know, whatever, and my heart's not really in it a whole lot because I'm so busy, you know, I don't feel God's Spirit very much. But when I say, God, I want you today, I need you, my prayers are answered. Yesterday, one of my kids called me in the middle of the day. I was working on something, and so I sat down on a bucket, and I said, yeah, I can talk. And one of our girls, and she wanted to tell me about some of the things going on in her life and important to her and kind of challenging, and wanted to know what I thought and my opinion as dad. And I sat there and I listened to her talk, and I could hear her heart, and I could hear her concerns, and I could hear what it was she was wrestling with. And this reminded me of how quickly God hears our prayers. How much I love my children, but how much more so God loves you. And you know, anytime you want to talk to him, God has time. It's not like he's so busy up there on the throne room and sending out lightning bolts and changing kings and all those things that he don't have time for you. The truth is, as soon as you turn your focus to God, he hears your prayer. That's a part of being connected. I am the vine and you are the branches. Jesus says when we pray, when we're connected to him, our prayers will be answered. Jesus also says that when we are connected, we'll have joy. And Jesus says quite a bit about joy when he talks in these chapters. And he says, my joy will be in you. What happens when we're connected to Jesus? We see life differently. We see hope differently. We see our circumstances differently. We see who's in charge of our lives when we're connected to him. I think how important hope is to the Christian, how important hope is to the body of Christ, how important Paul talks about the importance of joy and having that joy in our hearts and a spirit that kind of takes the goodness of God and carries that through our lives. And when we don't feel much joy, it's often because we're not very connected to God. We don't really have time for him. But when we know who he is and we seek him and we sense his spirit, he gives us something. The Bible describes Jesus as the joy giver. He's the one that gives joy in our lives, and we're thankful for that. He is the source. He's the fountain of meaning of life. He's the fountain of joy. All these things, Jesus tells us, comes from being connected to him. I am the vine and you are the branches. Then one more point before we receive communion, and that in verse 12, it says in verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. One more evidence that we are connected to Jesus is our love will be real for each other. Our love will be patient. Our love will be kind. Our love will be expressed. And the people around us will see the love that we have for them. It's interesting that Jesus talks about being connected to him. And then in verse 12, he says, if you're really connected to me, then there'll be a deep love for each other. That's going to be a dominant thing in the way that you view people and the relationship around you. Our love will be strong for God and for each other. And Jesus can help us to love one another. All of these, when we are connected, means that we will bear much fruit. All of these attributes means that when we're connected and we have joy in our hearts and our prayers are answered and we are teachable by God's Spirit, then God can make us fruitful and he can cause our lives to be full of goodness and influence, and that we will have an impact for him in the lives of other people. We do need to be so connected to the vine. We're going to receive communion this morning as a reminder and celebration that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. I want to invite those that are coming to serve today to come and take their places for communion as we receive Holy Communion.